In this segment, I'm going to cover emotional reactions people go through when they quit smoking. I always compare it to a book that was written back in 1969 by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. She wrote a book called On Death and Dying, and she was a psychiatrist who was working with patients who were told they had terminal illnesses. And she noticed people go through five distinct phases when she found out, or when they found out they were having, you know, an illness that couldn't be cured. The first phase that people would go through would be denial. The novel is, they felt bad, but they didn't feel that bad. You know, you go to a doctor and they give you a diagnosis as you got this disease, there's nothing you can do about it. You probably don't want to believe that message. You may go for a second opinion because you start to realize what you have here is just an incompetent doctor. That's the problem. It's like, someone can cure this disease. So you go for a second opinion. And, they came up with the same kind of conclusion. Yeah, this is terminal. There's nothing we can do about it. You may even go to the finest institution in the world, if you have the means to do it, and go there, and they run their same tests, and they come back with the same conclusion. No, they were both right. This is a terminal illness. Nothing we can do about it. Pretty soon, people would leave denial, and they would go straight into a phase which would be like anger. Anger is, they're mad. They don't want to die. The doctors should all be dying. They're the ones with the crummy news, but they don't want to die. So they become angry. Well, one thing about denial and anger is it won't make the symptoms any better. They will get worse. Just the disease is following its course, and people realize anger is not working. At which point, people become, they go into the next stage, which would be bargaining. Bargaining is they start to do things better now. They're making deals with God. They're going to be kind to people. They're going to be kind to animals. They're just going to be so much better human beings than ever before. You know, let me live. You know, and that's the attitude they're going to work. They're going to bargain, do everything right. They may do extreme things in bargaining. They may quit smoking. That's a bargaining phase of someone in a terminal state. But they do everything right, and the symptoms don't get better. They get worse, and all of a sudden they realize they're dying. She then labeled the next stage that people would go through would be depression. They were dying. They were dying. There wasn't anything they could do about it. They became very depressed. Now, if they lived long enough, they eventually reached a stage that she noticed of acceptance. Now, acceptance didn't mean that they were happy that they were dying, but in a way, they weren't sad either. It was just kind of matter of fact. They try to get their paperwork in order. They try to get things right at work. They try to get things settled at home for their family. They may make funeral arrangements. And they go through all the motions of doing things that have to be done, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. She called it the stages of death. It surrounded people who were dying. Not only the person who was dying, but family members and friends sometimes went through the same stages. Not necessarily at the exact same time. You can find out someone who you were very close to passed away yesterday. You'll get a call and someone passed away yesterday. And your first reaction is, you just had lunch with them 2 days ago. They've got to still be alive. They still must exist. And you can go into a denial phase if you find out someone close to you is dying. You get to a point where you can become angry that someone is dying and there's nothing you can do about it. But again, anger won't help them live. You can go into a bargaining phase trying to help somebody else, becoming much more religious, or just doing something to, you know, to help mankind, like somehow this will help. But then the person dies. And you can become depressed because you just lost a significant person. If it's a parent, if it's a child, if it's a sibling, whatever, it's a significant person to you, you can become depressed and start to think, how will my life ever go on? Sooner or later, though, people come to a stage of acceptance. Now, acceptance doesn't mean they don't miss the person. It doesn't mean that they don't love the person anymore, but their life goes on. They find activities to fill some of the voids of this missing person. Some of the voids they don't fill, but their life goes on. And over time, you know, they will start to feel better with life in general. And they'll hopefully find activities to fill some of the voids or relationships that some of them they may not be able to fill. It still seemed to be a good name, you know, stages of death. It happened to dying people, and it happened to people around dying people. But these are not stages of death. These are stages of loss. If you find out you're going to lose your life, you will go through these stages. If you find out you're going to lose someone close to you, you can go through these stages. When you lose your keys, you go through these stages. Analyze what happened last time you lost a set of keys. Why didn't lose the keys? They're around here somewhere. You don't know where the keys are, but you didn't lose them. You just can't find them. You're in denial. They're not gone. So you look at all the normal places. You don't find them. Pretty soon, you're going into anger. Anger is interesting, because you look in the same place you did during denial, you just swear more. You're now flipping pillows off the couch, you're pulling pockets out of clothing. You are mad. Those damn keys better come out. They better come out now. Well, you don't find the keys. The keys are gone. You'll get the press. It's like, oh, I gotta get new locks. I gotta get new keys. This is horrible. Well, actually, you'll go into, I skipped the phase there. You'll go into bargaining first. Bargaining goes like this. I love bargaining with this. It's like, oh, if I ever find these keys, I'm gonna get them a bigger ring. I'm gonna put them in a better place. Hey, keys, come out. We'll travel together now. You know, it's like you're gonna make things better for the keys. They'll materialize. Well, you don't find the keys. You get the press. It's like, oh my gosh, I gotta get new locks. I gotta get new keys. This is so disruptive in your life. You're really upset. A year later, you're digging in a garden, you're moving some furniture around, doing some general cleaning, and all of a sudden, you see the keys. They've been sitting there for a year. You'll break up laughing. Why? Because you accepted they were gone 11 and a half months earlier. You kissed those keys goodbye. They just didn't exist anymore. And here they were the whole time. These are the stages people go through when they're first quitting smoking, psychologically. The first question I ask my group, who here thinks they're going to quit smoking? There's an underwhelming response. Almost no one raises their hands. They don't want to quit. They don't have to quit. They can't quit. I mean, they're in denial. They're going to smoke when they leave that meeting. They just know it. They just, you know, it's a two-hour meeting. They'll smoke when they get out. Well, they get out and they don't smoke. And they get in their car and I'll blow when they get home. They get home and they don't smoke. And, you know, it's late now. I'll go to bed. I'll smoke in the morning. They don't smoke, and pretty soon they leave denial. Pretty soon they recognize they're not smoking. Now, at which point they can go right to anger. Anger is great. It's like if people call and ask how a person is doing when they're quitting smoking during anger, they're pestering them. If they don't call to find out how they're doing, they don't appreciate what I'm going through. You know, it's a no-win situation. No matter what you say to a person quitting smoking, it's going to be the wrong thing. The people are angry. You're not going to lose anyone in the group to denial. You're not going to lose anyone in the group to anger. If you're going to lose them, you're going to lose them to bargaining. Bargaining goes like this. Oh, if I just had one now, it'll get me through this moment. I'll never want one again. It'll taste horrible. I'll remember this rotten cigarette the rest of my life. Taking a cigarette now really is going to help me secure this quit. Wow, Joel will never be able to smell it on me. I mean, I can pull this one past them. These are bargaining ploys. If we lose anyone, we will lose them to bargaining. If a person loses their own quit, there's a good chance they lose it to bargaining. If they could just hang in and not give in to the bargaining, well, then they can look for depression. But once they get through depression, it'll ease up. And again, these are usually temporary states. And you can go back and forth a little bit. But you know what? Most people go on a pretty smooth transition there. Once you get to acceptance, really, you just get an understanding that life goes on without smoking, and everything you did before, you can do again. And, you know, again, some of the void you're not going to fill. You're not going to be getting a drug fix all the time, but you will need it. It gets to a point that it really is a nice way of life. These are normal stages that people go through. They, you know, shouldn't get overly alarmed. Hey, if something goes too long, if depression is going long, maybe there's another area going on that needs to be addressed and not to write off. But don't look for that to happen. Most people, it does not happen to. You get through a few days, and again, the psychological, that doesn't fit into the 72-hour mark. There's a variability here that can go, you know, longer for some people, shorter for some people. But generally, if anything seems extremely intense, well, then maybe it's a matter of getting checked out to make sure nothing else was going wrong there. But for most people, this is a very temporary situation that will pass and they will never have to face again, as far as smoking goes, as long as they continue to stick with the commitment they made the day they decided to, you know, never take another puff.